Hi, this is Aaron Hart on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning. I'm filling in for Jay Marvin. Nice to have, I'm catching up with old friends. Going to talk to another old friend coming up right here on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Although John and I debated playing the funeral march because the Broncos have marched into, you know, are they nags being put out to the glue factory or what there? I love you sports guys. You can use all sorts of metaphors, but actually you generally speaking write better than that, Dave Krieger. So let me not put, are the Broncos, have they become nags out to pasture? What's going on? And it's nice to talk to you again, Dave Krieger.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I am well. I've known you through your various incarnations as sports and political reporters, as your bio puts it, you keep getting kicked out of your various beats. But so
yeah,
far,
that
you,
was a long time ago, Aaron.
You're
dating us both.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. You didn't have to mention it was a long time ago, dude. Nobody would have known.
There are people who are 20 who have, you know, tell me that they've been reading me since they were five, and that's not that encouraging.
Okay, well, I have a listener who's been listening to me since he was pubescent, and he's now at the Colorado School of Mines. Okay? So I understand. I do. Anyway, but, you know, some things just get better with time, and let's be two of them.
There you go.
All right. Mike Shanahan, you write a very funny column about the fantasy conversation between Pat Bowlen and Mike Shanahan, and him asking about his, how do you pronounce it, Shanahan Mansion?
The Shanahan Mansion,
the
yeah.
Shanahan Mansion. Now,
yeah.
What kind of edifice is this, dude? I've been out of town. I live up in the Pacific Northwest now. What's going on?
A 35,000-square-foot mansion in the middle of Cherry Hills Village.
Who does he think he is, Bill Gates?
Well, it's going to be sort of similar to that, I think. Yeah,
that's a little
sort of
scary.
The Bill Gates of, you know, football.
How many passes can you throw or cartwheels can you turn in a 35,000 square? Hasn't he read about, you know, global warming and being energy efficient and all that?
In football, these news topics, they just don't seep in. You have to understand. You have to get a picture. You're talking about, and this is not just Shanahan. This is all of them. They work 18-hour days, all of it ensconced in these bunkers, watching tape or now digital recordings of football games. This is all they do. And so if you ask them about anything related to current events, the chances of you getting a current answer are very, very slim.
Sort of
this is why I indicated in the column that Mike had just discovered this intranet thing, which, you know, being a new part of the media,
I noticed
came
that.
Sort of a shock to him.
Shock. Shakar. Well, apparently a strategy for his team is also a stranger to him. What has happened to the Broncos? That game was awful.
Everybody's a critic.
I know, and I'm not the most informed. I do not watch football around the clock 24/7. It must be said out loud. I did sit down to as my homework assignment on Sunday night to watch the game, and I ran to Dr. No on BBC because it was so bad. It was. I kept going. I kept sort of winking one eye and going back and going, oh, it's still really bad. Ooh, it's even more awful than it was before.
Well, first of all, a game doesn't have to be bad for Dr. No to tempt you away. Dr. No is a great flick.
Classic and James Bond.
Absolutely.
Best ever.
And probably the best Bond woman ever.
Ursula Andress.
Yeah.
Not a bad choice
long,
there, Dave.
Long list there, but probably the best. Anyway,
okay.
So I'm sympathetic with you to start with. But yes, you know, there is one sort of fundamental tenet among these football guys. If you get them all in a room, they will all agree that you have to be able to stop the other team occasionally. And that's not something that the Broncos do very well. So this is what all of the postmortem teeth gnashing is about. How can the Broncos learn to stop the other team occasionally?
Have they tried tripping them? Because, you know, that 5'6" Sproles guy seems to be pretty...
Unfortunately, Aaron, tripping is a penalty in football. Otherwise, it would be, you know, a great idea.
Sad, really. Because I think they're going to have to resort to tripping in order to be able to enact a defense. No, seriously. Although it's really hard to be serious about sports.
I can tell that you,
But how bad is it, and how bad is it going to? I mean, we have seen a year where it is amazing how many teams have turned around and become successful after really terrible years. I'm not sure we'll see the Detroit Lions go to the Super Bowl next year, but is there hope for recovery? Is there any glimmer? I mean, I know Broncos fans who are ready to open a vein.
Yeah, there are. You know, most of those situations you see of dramatic turnarounds, there's a change in leadership. There's a change in direction. Miami is an example of that this year. They got very good. They made the playoffs, and they were terrible last year. But that's because they got a new general manager, a new coach. They started over again. So I don't know. In this case, I think the chances of a change at the top are very small. So an immediate turnaround, I think, is going to be tough. But the odd thing about it is there's a schizophrenic nature to them. Offensively, they're very good. And Mike Shanahan knows offense very well, and he's gotten some great young players in. And so half of it, I mean, it's like the old Jekyll and Hyde story. Half of it is fine and needs nothing except a little health. But the other half is terrible. And so the question is, you know, can you prevail upon him to let somebody come in who knows how to handle that half? And because he's got total control, as you probably know, in the world of politics, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's sort of where he's at.
And it also leads to, in the case of computer moguls, it leads to 35,000 or more than 35,000 actually square foot houses. I'm still boggling that he's building a house.
Well, you need just think about the space you need for the bowling alley, just by itself. Okay.
That is just sad.
Think about the bowling alley.
Then do something, I don't know, then have an ego big enough. If you're going to have an ego that big and one that can do something like that, then be like Barack Obama and have a big ego, but have it be a sensible, balanced ego and be able to hire people with whom you can compete who will enact the best out of the other side that you don't do so well with, perhaps.
Well, not everyone can go from, you know, being a state senator to being president of the United States in 4 years, Aaron. I mean,
this
I think you're setting the bar fairly high there.
All right. I am. And he, but...
But, I mean, for all of us.
Yeah, know? No, I know. It still boggles my mind. I heard that the other day on the radio that he actually went from being state senator to president of the United States. And I was like, is that true? And then I went, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
He was only elected to the Senate in 2006.
Yeah.
Yow. But one thing I do like about him, though, is, I mean, it's maybe it could become, if he's doing this sort of anti-trending thing of having a big, huge house, maybe he should do the trendy thing and have an ego so big that he can hire somebody really tough to handle defense.
Yeah, that's the challenge. I agree with that. And he, you know, everybody tries to, people in power positions like his, try to express humility in different ways. And it's kind of funny sometimes to watch how they do it. But you know, the first thing he always says after they lose is, my fault. I didn't prepare the team adequately, which is sort of on the one hand saying I'm accountable, on the other giving a reason that nobody has any idea what the hell it means. So how are you going to quiz him on it any further, you know? But he will not say, I have this blind spot. I don't know how to draft defensive people, which when you look at the history, that's basically the problem. When he drafts defensive players, they're terrible.
Well, you're a brave and noble sports columnist. You've thrown this question in his face, have you not?
Oh, I have indeed, yeah.
And how does he answer it?
We just have to play the fundamentals better.
Oh, is he to pull the Bull Durham, I'll pull out my stock answer number three?
Yes, that's exactly right. He's very polished in these things. He's been doing it for 14 years. He's got it down, and he's the last coach in the world you will get to, you know, give a frank, off-the-cuff response to a question in a public forum.
Oh, sad. So, okay, Dr. Krieger, what is your prescription? How do we heal the Broncos?
Well, as I suggested this morning, in between the bits of satire, I think the man in charge, the owner, Pat Bowlen, has to actually act like the man in charge and make a decision that his coach is terrific at what he does, but he has certain limitations, and he needs to bring in somebody else who's better in those areas. But whether Pat Bowlen will ever do that, these guys are old buds. They've been friends for... Well, Shanahan got here in 1984 as an assistant. That was Pat's first year owning the team, and
my first year
covering the Broncos, I'm ashamed to say. And so that's, 24 years now. They've been through a lot together. They've won Super Bowls together. There's a bond there. Bowlen has said Shanahan can be his coach for as long as he wants. So
he has a blind spot, too.
Yeah, I'm not really optimistic about that.
No. So, recommendations then, apart from reading your satire, chuckling as they read your sensible advice in the mornings, and there are people, including my own family, who still read the actual newspaper.
Still read the
actual newspaper.
Wow.
I have gone digital and virtual, Krieger, but they still actually read, and you'll be happy to know that my nephews read the paper.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
What you should do,
Aaron, really seriously, is take pictures of that so you can prove it later.
Okay.
Because when the newspaper goes away completely, I mean, and it'll be fast.
I know.
You will be able to show, you know, various young relatives who never saw one pictures of people actually reading them. I think that would be useful.
This is scary. At least you still have a job, though, dude. And it's hard to get a job these days. People look at me and go, you used to work for newspapers? I'm like, yeah, and it's really hard to get back into them, too.
Yeah, tell me about it. Well, as you know, ours has a estimated lifespan of about a month, so we'll see.
Oh, well, I'm sure you'll find work, though, my man.
I certainly hope so, Aaron, because I will be looking for it. So, you know, if you know anybody hiring, do let me know.
I will. We'll keep in touch.
Okay.
And since we haven't seen each other or talked to each other in, what, years now? But anyway, we will.
Well, that's
what
I'm doing. I'm unashamedly learning how to network at an advanced age now that I suddenly have to.
I'm doing the same thing. So, AaronHartShow.com, you can always find my email. I can write you at the paper for now. I'll figure out your email, and John Turk will always know how to find you, right?
That's absolutely right.
Okay, good. Well, then we'll keep in touch that way, Dave Krieger, and thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us.
Thanks, Aaron. It was a pleasure.
I appreciate it. Same to you. Okay, that's Dave Krieger. We've done that. Now let's do more things here at AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk, because my computer just crashed again for the fourth time during the show. I'm going to reboot. We're going to reboot John Turk. 303-713-7600. Join us. Talk about the Broncos. We'll commiserate. Isn't Dave Krieger fun? I'd forgotten what funny is this in an interview. So that guy has a future somewhere. I know. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart on the Aaron Hart version of the J. Marvin Show. Join us, and let's all get full-time jobs in 2009, or keep them, as the case may be. Shall we? All right, that's my New Year's wish. What's yours? And John Turk is going to get the day off the bum, so we have to, you know, razz him unmercifully coming up, and especially if he plays any more sappy love songs. We can go back to our love topic, the Gaza Strip in Israel, which is certainly the opposite of that. We can talk about anything you'd like coming up for the rest of the show. 303-713-7600. Now it's time for Progressive Traffic and said Don Turk. John Turk.
Don, whatever you call yourself.
Whatever you call yourself.
Nothing but air supply for you this
air
hour,
air supply Turk. Like, there's just something so funny when John says it differently than anybody else says. He goes, you got Ron in Littleton and you're hot. Great. Thanks, John. John Turk joining us as co-host to talk about love during the last hour. We also talked to Dave Krieger about not so much love at the Broncos. I think his prescriptions are absolutely dead on. And I miss Dave Krieger's wit. I really do. He's one of the better sports reporters. He doesn't resort to those crummy cliches that a lot of sports writers go for. He's more in the Keith Olbermann vein of humor, and he would probably faint if he heard me saying that, but because we tend to kid each other. But I'm really glad he came aboard. That was a blast from the past and a good one, too. Why women shouldn't say I love you first was our topic before Dave joined us. And maybe that's the problem with Pat Bowlen and Mike Shanahan. They love each other too much and they've got stars in their eyes. Who knows? Thanks for joining us, Ron and Littleton. Welcome and hi.
Hey, how you doing, Aaron?
I'm good. I was looking for my...
I want to do this thing about love.
Okay.
And I say both sides. You know, build up a friendship first or build up a relationship first before you even have the inkling or saying that you love somebody.
That sounds so sensible. I don't think I've ever done that.
because I think in this country, don't you would agree? Hey, I've known you long enough.
I don't think so. What?
Yeah,
yes.
But don't you agree that in this country, let's say the past 40 years, and I've known you long enough, that a lot of us through the culture and the media, and we've gotten mesmerized by ilk like Hugh Hefner. We've learned to love and not to fornicate.
We've learned
to fornicate and not to love.
Hey, stop saying that. He doesn't know me in a big biblical way either. No, I'm kind of old-fashioned in an odd sort of way, but no. I don't think it's that. I don't think it's the cheapening of it. I'm very glad for the liberation of women. Don't get me wrong. I'm very happy to be a feminist and very happy to be liberated and very happy for birth control and all kinds of lovely inventions. But on the other hand, I think we got mesmerized by love at first sight and by, oh my gosh, we've all got to find partners and I want to do a show sometime on how fun it is to live by yourself. I really liked it.
Well, let me tell you a little story.
Ever
since about 2003, I've been a widower, and I finally, you know, got over the grief and some excellent counseling
from
a great church here in town, and you probably know them, called Mile High Church.
Yes, I've heard of them.
And I've met a nice lady, and we have become great friends. Nothing romantic, there's nothing romantic. We're just great. We, you know, dinner, talking books. We talk about, your the guy, the person you're filling, Jay, and we talk about
you. And
you don't feel
you talk about us? You talk about talk show hosts?
Well, then, you know, because she listens to the same thing we do. You know, but I'm trying to say we have a lot of things in common.
Sure.
We decided, hey.
Yeah, it would be sad if you discussed, say, me and Rush Limbaugh in the same sentence.
We've got a great relationship, and we've decided that the thing that really messes up with some relationships are sex, politics, and religion.
Well, all of those things can be landmines. I mean, I once told someone I've never slept with a conservative. And I think that's probably still true. I don't think any of them have converted at this late date. I certainly hope not. But I don't know. I think, what do you do when you want to do forgive me, I don't mean to be too personal, and please don't give us too personal of an answer, but what do you do when you want to do the wild thing, dude?
Well, I'm 65, and...
Oh.
I've had a lot of that stuff before. Remember that old song by Peggy Lee? Is that all there is?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I have felt that way after, a few years back, getting intimately involved with a woman. And, you know, I liked her a lot, but just the act itself, is that all there is? I mean, God, we have some other stuff going, and it's got to get down to this. That's my feeling.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing. I'm not sure any of us want to join you in that endeavor, but that's fine. You know, look, sex is what it is, and it can be very important or it can be less important. I'm not trying to cast any kind of comment on that. What I'm encouraged by is somebody who wants to be just friends, because a lot of men I have dated sometimes, if you don't want to have sex with them and you want to be just friends, they're out the door.
Well,
I just want to be...
Hey, Aaron, I just want to be friends because I look back on, when I was a teenager and I've talked to some ladies that I grew up with in my teenage years, and we did some wild things, and we apologized to each other that we did some stupid things back in the 60s.
Well, I was too young to be joining you in that endeavor then, but I understand what you're talking about. Sometimes you do have to go back and say, I am sorry. Thank you so much for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
You bet. I don't know. I guess he's not going to be saying I love you, but he'll say, I like you a lot and I want to talk books. I don't know, John. How do you feel about that, dating somebody for years and years and never sleeping with them? To me, it's like, what's the point?
Say one more time, Aaron.
Were you too freaked out by the conversation? Would you?
Yeah, but you were asking him what he does with himself.
Well, yeah. Well, I didn't mean that. I just said, what do you do?
What do you think he does?
Well, I don't know. I guess visits Onan.
It was
Nan
just like last
the
hour where the guy was talking about.
Master debater. But,
yeah.
But hey, here's the thing. All right. Would you ever date a woman if she said, no, thanks, I don't want to have sex with you for like a year on end? You're in a committed relationship for life, so it's hard to even imagine that. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure I expect that. I do kind of expect that out of a relationship. Why would you do it?
Sex?
Well, no. Why would you date somebody and not have sex?
Yeah. I mean, it's important.
I mean, I I would think.
Well, let's get my wife on the line for this one.
Are you really going to get your wife on the line?
I probably could, but.
No.
She's cruising around with her girlfriends.
Oh. John,
huh?
Did you mean to say that sentence?
Yeah, she's cruising around with her girlfriends.
Yeah, you said screwing around with her girlfriends.
Cruising around.
Oh, okay.
No, I said cruising.
Okay, never
Stacey,
mind.
Stacey, I hope you're cruising around with your girlfriends right now, not
cruising.
Screwing around.
In a car. Yeah. Okay.
cruising. Yeah.
Yeah,
cruising.
Not at the bars.
Cruising
in a car, not at the bars. Okay. Yeah, maybe she's cruising for your replacement, dude. No, she wouldn't do that.
She's already got that all plotted out.
Does she really?
Yeah, I think so.
No. 303-713-7600. We're talking love. We're talking politics. We're talking religion. Why? Because we can. This is talk radio, baby. That's what we talk about. 8:30 it is. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. John Turk's coming up with traffic. We open lines last hour, whatever you want to talk about, last half hour. We can talk about whatever you'd like, including the dismal Broncos and what you think. 35,000 square feet? I'm still reeling in shock. Sustainable Dave is going to be horrified. Sustainable Dave will be joining us later this week. So will Rabbi Daniel Wiener about his new book. And I'll actually let him talk about it. And then I don't know what else we'll do this week, but probably it'll be you, the star of the show. So we're coming up with lots of different topics to entertain you with. And we'll be joining you. And John gets to take the day off. Darn it. 8:30.
The next three, that is.
Next three. How was your concert last night, by the way?
It was good. It was great. Yonder Mountain String Band.
Oh.
Opening up for Widespread Panic tonight and tomorrow night.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Going to be awesome.
Woohoo!
I'm officially out of here in like 28 minutes and 37 seconds.
Not that he's counting.
No,
or
I got to do stuff for you today, so.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not on vacation yet.
All right. 303-713-7600. This is the Aaron Hart version of the J. Marvin Show.
We got it together, didn't we? Nobody but you.
I can't believe you're playing Barry White again.
We got it together, baby.
Now, that's a good question and a good topic. What is the best love song ever? Boy, I'd have to think about that. Sarah, speaking of love, Sarah Palin's daughter, Bristol, gives birth. Guess what the name is, John?
What is the name?
I don't know. I have to look. I don't remember. It's not Twig. I don't think it's Twig. It's Trip. Trip Easton Mitchell Johnston.
That is her grandson's name? I thought that was her son's name.
I thought so, too, but apparently they named him
Wasn't her son's name Trip?
Yes. Or Todd. No, her husband's name is Todd.
Todd. You know what he did when he was in town?
No.
He did like an event at the Hunter Outfitter place here in town.
Isn't
that fitting?
Oh, my God. You know what? They're showing the mother humping moose over and over and over again. I think while you're away, we're going to play incessantly loops of Paris Hilton. Remember? That was my favorite. It's like, see you at the convention, bitches. That was like my favorite.
That was a great part. That was a great
that was my
moment
favorite
of 2008.
What's your favorite moment of 2008?
We don't have a lot of time. You know, I'm going to be gone the next 3 days.
I know.
What's your favorite moment of 2008?
Well, personally or professionally? Professionally, politics? One of my favorite moments politically was watching this 18-year-old kid from up here get elected. He did not believe he could be elected a delegate to go to Colorado. And I had already made a decision that because of various personal reasons and other work issues, I was not going to necessarily go to the convention. And so this kid from Vashon Island up here, 18 years old, was, you know, all the, like, more than 150 people ran for delegate. That was part of the reason I did not, too. And these kids had all worked their hearts out. That was the real reason, too, is that they had worked their hearts out. Whereas I made some phone calls. I didn't feel comfortable in the delegate role. You know what I mean? I can't be just an unabashed advocate. I have to stick in my 2 cents now and again. So, but this kid was really fun, and he was running with his girlfriend, I think, and she lost. So he really didn't believe he'd win then.
Wow.
But he got elected, and I've never seen such a kid. I mean, he was really, that kid will be politically active probably for the rest of his life. And what an introduction to be 18 years old. He was still in high school. He was debating because it conflicted some of the statewide convention conflicted with his high school graduation. And he was trying to decide whether he should graduate or, you know, with his ceremony or whether he should go. And it was just really charming to watch that. Now, my favorite Barack Obama moment, you know, I think it was watching him give that last speech in Manassas, Virginia, the last night of the campaign, knowing that he had just lost his grandmother, you know, the woman who urged him and helped him and inspired him to be better. And watching him give that speech with all the sadness and yet and with the historical sense that we were making a change of the man, an African-American man who was standing on some of the bloodiest soil in United States history, the scene of one of the worst battles in the Civil War, which, by the way, my family probably fought in on both sides, North and South. And I found something extremely moving about that. That was a great, great moment, I thought.
Yeah, that was a great moment. When he got elected, that speech was phenomenal.
Yeah. You?
Obviously, Barack getting elected, got to take number one, but a close second.
Wasn't it great? Yeah.
Bush getting the shoe thrown at him.
Oh, wasn't that great? You know,
I mean, that
I hate
may be my
laugh.
Favorite moment of the last 8 years.
I hate to laugh, but you know what? And what a fitting the disdain. You know, because I remember when I was filling in for Dave Ross the morning that the riot started in Iraq, you know, when they started tearing everything apart and they were tearing down statues and all the right-wing conservatives were going, this is great, we've conquered them. I said, no, they're hitting it with shoes. You don't understand. Anarchy is about to ensue. And I was watching clips of Donald Rumsfeld in that speech he gave. Remember when he said, oh, you know, they're just getting a little emotional. Freedom is messy, you know, and he made all those excuses. And as a talk show host, I'm watching the pictures on CNN. This country is descending into chaos. And we have just sent a message to the wider world that we are not in charge, that we do not have enough troops there. Whether or not you like the fact that we just occupied Iraq or not, we have just sent a message that the United States of America is weak. And that is very, very bad. And unfortunately, I was right. And the idea, which is where I went from shoes, because that day, one of my vivid memories was them pounding everything with shoes, and that symbol of disdain in the Arabic world that you're just nothing. You're so nothing, you don't even deserve to be on the soles of the feet. And to this day, do you think Bush realizes how insulting that was? I don't think he realizes it.
He doesn't get it. Some of his quotes afterwards are like, so what?
Oh,
the guy threw a shoe at me.
Oh, they're just a little mad. Yeah.
What's his beef?
Same kind of cluelessness that Rumsfeld had. What's his beef? Oh, let's see. Where do we start? He hates you. He has nothing but disdain from you. And by the way, he is going to become a huge
hero. He's a national hero, yeah.
He's an international hero. He's totally beloved in the Arab world now because of what he did in the wider world. And that's a very, you know, I think the Israelis in some ways are making some of the same mistakes that we made in Iraq, is you cannot bomb people into submission. I just don't think you can. Debbie in Arvada, welcome to AM760 Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey.
How are you?
I am well this morning. Debbie, you?
Good. Hey, you were just talking about favorite moments of 2008, and I thought of one. I was really happy to hear that General Shinseki was nominated by Barack. I think, isn't he the head of Veterans Affairs?
Yes. Yeah, he's going to be head of Veterans Administration.
Yeah, after what Bush did to him.
Yeah.
That was a great moment.
We need more troops. And speaking of what I was just talking about, we need more troops. And who did they overrule?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And you know what was really moving to me, too? And I'm really glad that Barack Obama has said to himself, you know, I can go to Hawaii still anytime I want, because I don't think he's an elitist. I think he's like, you know, I go home to the tropics when I can. It's warm and it's nice and it's a beach. What's not to like?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? If you happen to be lucky enough to grow up and spend some of your growing up years in warm tropical waters, why shouldn't you go back and visit, you know?
All right.
But that was part of, I think, a lot of my friends who are both transplanted and native Hawaiians. I don't have that many friends in Hawaii, but I have a couple of lifelong friends who are in Hawaii who moved there from, actually, Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the whole island is like a chanted. You know, they're just, they feel so proud because they've, you know, only been a state since, I think, was it 1960?
Mm-hmm.
Or 59. And they've only been a state for that long. And here they are. They've, you know, and then to see General Shinseki, who's also from Hawaii, and Barack Obama, I really felt the kind of passionate love for country when you see that we're ethnically diverse, we're proud of it, we stand by our word, and we're proud of it. There just were so many meanings in his election, I think.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, hey, it's great to hear you on all week. So
Thank
I hope
you, yeah.
you come back. And
coming back tomorrow.
We need to get you your own show here.
Please. I've been lobbying for some time. Yes, indeed. No, I'd love it if it happens, and if it doesn't, I'll figure out something else. But I really do love filling in. I really do. It's very fun, but a full-time gig could be great, too, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, Happy New Year to you and to John.
Thank
you.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
Thank you. And John won't tell you he loves you first.
Okay.
I love you, Debbie.
All right. You too, John.
Nice picking up on the cue there, John. John, P.S., guess what? My computer has crashed again. I'm going to see if they can get me a longer cord so I can plug in my laptop before I come back here. Other favorite moments. I have to say, Barack Obama pretty much any time. But I also, as a woman, I have to say, I was a little annoyed with Hillary Clinton a couple of times in the way that she and Bill Clinton both behaved on the campaign trail. But that speech, when she finally gave her concession speech, and her speech at the convention was pretty wowzer, too. But when she said the words, 18 million cracks in the glass ceiling, I still get choked up. This was such a landmark year in so many ways. And even Sarah Palin with her clumsy helicopter shooting, loudmouth irreverence for anything sane. You know, women had a big impact on this election this year, John. Huge.
They sure did.
In many, many ways. And I think, you know, we sort
of have... Sarah Palin makes my favorite person in 2008.
Is she your favorite person ever?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, 2008.
I can't stand her as a
just
candidate.
Just above Michael Phelps.
Yeah, I think she's really dangerous for the country. But on the other hand, as a Democrat, I hope to God she runs again.
Oh, I know. Wouldn't that be great?
In 2012. To watch Barack Obama eat her lunch every single day would be a distinct pleasure, wouldn't it?
It sure would.
Now, do you think Hillary will be a good Secretary of State?
You know what? I think she will be.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I know you weren't too charitably disposed toward her.
No. I think that's a really good position. You know.
I just hope she doesn't run for office from there. I hope she actually does. I hope she becomes the best stateswoman we've ever had. Certainly, she won't have to go very far to outdo Condoleezza Rice by legions by just taking the job. She's outdone Condoleezza Rice. But you know, Madeleine Albright was a pretty good Secretary of State. We'll see. She has some shoes to fill. She has some pumps to inhabit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize we have had either a woman or a person of color in Secretary of State since Clinton's era? Isn't that amazing? I will give George Bush credit for a couple of things. And one is he has had diversity in his cabinet. I would say that none of them had a brain in their heads for working for him, but there you go.
And lightning fast reflexes.
Yes, and lightning fast reflexes. Don't you wish sometimes that we worked on TV and that we could just replay that over and over?
I watched it a thousand times,
over.
I think.
Oh, I think that, and if digital were a tape that could wear out, mine would be threadbare by now. The other thing that I've watched over and over and over, do you know that there's a game where you can play Pop-Up Bush and hit him with a shoe?
Yeah,
Have you played
great.
That?
Yeah, I have. Actually.
I'm really slow at it, though.
It's like a gopher hole and Bush pops out of it.
No,
you smack it. Yeah,
it's great. And you smack him, you shoot him with a shoe. We're really bad.
Oh, we're easily pleased.
Yeah. Well, actually, see, I watched the British version of Jackass, so I can even no longer criticize you for liking Jackass because I watched
great,
Top Gear.
Isn't it?
Do you watch Top Gear?
I don't.
I keep telling you.
But no, I know I do. I know I do.
It's fabulous. It's like
stuff to watch.
A moderately intelligent Jackass. Moderately.
We don't want intelligence.
But then you get people like me who need a little intelligence. What was that horrible pickup line you had about women with intelligence you said earlier before we started the show?
This will make my wife cringe.
Oh, my God. Go ahead.
I want a woman that arouses my intellect as well as my loins.
Have you used that in a bar to any effect?
No, of course not.
Oh, please.
How about this one? Are those space pants? Because that ass is out of this world.
Oh! That is horrifying. That is the worst. There's no way I would. Oh, no. I'd look at you and dump a drink on your head.
I've never. I have had a drink dumped on my head.
Have you had a drink dumped on your head?
I was going to say I hadn't, but I thought about it and I did.
I'm trying to think. No.
A red slushy.
I have dumped a drink on somebody. I did do that once. I did. All right. It's a cheap way to settle an argument, though. 303-713-7600. I think by my analog watch that it's about time for me to go to a break. Am I correct?
You're
in that
correct.
Endeavor? Okay. So I'm going to go to a break, ladies and gentlemen, and I apologize for the lack of computerized, say, timepieces. But apparently they're waiting for the computer to break in the studio, and I'm trying to cooperate. I just gave it a little kick.
They gave you nothing but the finest equipment for this fill-in job.
Finest.
Huh?
Finest studio, finest equipment, no TV, and a broken computer, and a phone that rings occasionally during the show. It's
That's
fabulous.
Great. It's AM 760 what?
AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. John Turk, Progressive Traffic. Hi, this is Aaron Hart. It's 8:53. This is the Aaron Hart version of the J. Marvin Show. I need to thank, I want to get to all of your calls, so I will do so, but 303-713-7600. And I'm going to talk to Dave, Sustainable Dave. He's launching his new site coming up, 365 Days of Trash, Sustainable Dave. We'll be talking to him coming up in the show this week. We'll also be talking to Rabbi Daniel Wiener. And if you have any suggestions for a show, somebody suggested J Street, and we had already written them because I'm on J Street's mailing list. But for some weird reason, the info at jstreet.com is not working for us. So if any of you have a connection to jstreet.com, we can't find their phone number anywhere. So I don't know what's going on with them. But they're not very good at responding to their email, apparently. 303-713-7600. Jason in Laramie. Welcome to AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. Thank you. You're doing a great job filling in for Jay. Hey, my favorite moment real quick, and then I want to move on to a different topic, but had to have been when Adam Kokesh crashed John McCain's acceptance speech there at the RNC in Minnesota. I thought that was a great way to bring the protest directly to those who are so staunchly in support of this war, but want to fight it with other people's blood and other people's money, and I think that Adam did a good job pointing that out.
Good point.
So that was one of my favorite moments of 2008. And I actually had the opportunity, or we had the opportunity to interview him on our internet radio program that we do every week. Now, I don't want to talk real quickly, and I know that we're closing this out here, and Happy New Year to everybody. But, you know, this you were talking earlier about the selection of Mr. Warren as the pastor, and to give the prayer at the inauguration. And, you know, I don't think that, geez, you just don't get it. You know, there's I remember there's a South Park episode where Kyle is making friends with, I think it's Token, the African American character on the show.
Yes.
And the whole end of the critique of the show is that, you know, Token is saying at the end of it, you know, the whole point is you whites, you know, to stand is you just don't get what it's like to be an African American to face that kind of discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I want to turn around and I want to say to Barack Obama, you know, you just don't get it, do you?
Yeah, you just don't get it. Well, Frank Rich and I don't know if you heard the interview with Frank Rich earlier, the New York Times columnist, but he wrote a really good column about this on Sunday, I think. But, you know, I agree with you, he doesn't get it. And we both speculated. We wondered if he has somebody in the upper echelons of his campaign, his transition structure who actually is gay.
Yeah, I don't see it at all, and you know, I want to see the corresponding balance and coming together, and where, you know, where's the gay person playing a prominent role in any of the administration at all, and where will there be? We've got an Office of Faith-Based Initiatives, so we've already made sure that we're going to bring bigotry into the White House. You know, if that's the kind of bigotry we're going to select to give the prayer at our inauguration, is that what the faith-based office is going to bring into the White House?
So, yeah, I don't think he realized how deeply offensive. I don't think he or Axelrod realized how deeply offensive this is, which just got to make you wonder how familiar they are with lesbian, gay, transgender, and bisexual issues. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, that's what boggles my mind, because when I lived in Chicago, I worked with my state senator to pass the Gay and Lesbian Civil Rights Bill in Illinois, and then State Senator Obama came to at least one of our meetings.
Yeah.
And then he worked before he went on to become
Do you think this
senator.
Is his sister soldier moment that he figured, I can afford to piss you off at just this one time?
Well, you know, maybe if it's just this one time, but okay. But he's on notice. He doesn't get any more passes.
No do-overs.
If that's
no,
that's
no love if he doesn't get straightened up. Okay, I got you. And thank you for your call, Jason. We've run plumb out of time, though. And thank you all so much. Thanks to John Turk. Thanks to Frank Rich of the New York Times. And thanks to Dave Krieger, my buddy from the Rocky Mountain News. We'll talk soon. Thanks, John. Back tomorrow with you on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk.